A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Reds News Roundup with me, Steve Hall. As you know, this is free view week on YouTube, so if you're watching on YouTube, hello. Let me explain what we do on this show. We basically talk about everything that's happening around Liverpool Football Club, but off the field. Paul and Chris tend to do on-the-field stuff. And my show is where we talk about news, gossip, injuries, contracts, anything basically that happens outside of those white lines. And to do that with me this week, I've got Bailey and Ross. Hello, gents. Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
So it's lovely to see you on this fine Wednesday. Let's get straight into it then, Ross. I'll come to you first. And it's a name that we've spoken about a lot. It kind of went quiet for a while, but Nabil Fekir is back in the news. And it isn't a link or anything like that. It's more comments made by Leon's owner, Jean-Michel Aulas, I think that's how we pronounce his name. And he basically said, he was asked about, was it a knee injury that caused that the deal to collapse? Obviously, we all know Nabil Fekir was in a Liverpool shirt. He'd done interviews, the deal collapsed. He said, at the final moment, the three parties didn't find an agreement, but it wasn't just Liverpool and Leon who had the agreement. There was a change of heart from Liverpool's point of view, as we were in a tight situation and Nabil was about to go to the World Cup, so we decided to finish the talks there. Nabil at the time was okay with it, and then he was asked about the knee injury. He says, I think that was one of the arguments that was used on the Liverpool side, but personally, I do not think that was the real reason. Do you believe him first? I suppose it's the big question, because there's been a lot of... I've always gone along with the fact that the only reason Liverpool would have pulled out was if there was an injury or something. But what he's saying was there was details within the contract or within the agreement between all three parties, and the clock was ticking because France had called them up, so everyone decided to just knock her on the head there. Again, it wouldn't make sense if that was the case. Which side of the fence would you tend to believe?
I'm on the side of the fence that this is the very much Brexit deal of football, isn't it? I'm just fucking sick of talking about it now. Just fucking leave it alone. It seems to be him that's making all the noise about it, and he keeps banging the drum, and it's like just let it drop. It seems like he's got a bee in his bonnet about it, and I don't know why he keeps dragging it up. From Liverpool's perspective, I don't know why they'd let it go to doing the videos and stuff for them to then pull out is the bit I can't fathom, if it's not the knee injury. Yeah. having it checked out. But like you said, it was all rushed because he was about to go away. So did he just get that done in preempt that everything was going to be fine and find out that his knee wasn't fine? I don't know why Liverpool would go so far into a deal and then pull out if there wasn't something wrong.
I suppose the talk, Bailey, is that he could still go at some point anyway. He's not yet signed the new contract that they want him to. So, and basically, that's probably cost them some money, because as he runs towards the end of his contract, his value is probably decreasing.
Yep.
But again, there has been theories. Maybe Liverpool decided they have found something in the knee, and therefore the deal needs to be altered somewhat. Yeah. So whether it's, you know, payments or in clauses or appearances or whatever, rather than just a straight fee. But again, we've kind of closed this door, but I'm going to reopen it anyway.
Yep.
Let's go with the fact that he's telling the truth, and we don't know he is, because he's a known bullshitter. He's lied a lot in the press, and fair play to him. It gets his name out there, it gets his clout there. But for the, let's say, argument's sake, he's actually telling the truth. Could you see that opening the door for Liverpool to go back in again, or do you think that is well and truly closed now?
No, I think Fekir is sort of old news. I think that's why he's constantly sort of trying to bring any tertiary link back to us as possible, because he's like, he knows that since this has come out last year, that this, the Nabil Fekir hype train that was last summer has sort of died completely now, and he's just sort of trying to bring any link back to a big club to say, well, they were interested in him last season, maybe they'll be interested in this season. I think we're done with him. I mean, you said about his knee, and what I'd heard about what happened with his knee, obviously he had to have an operation on it in the past. The skin graft or tissue graft or cartilage graft, whatever they did to fix his knee, apparently that was taken from a dead person. So you could take it obviously from a live person, but they took it from a corpse to then graft into his knee. which is obviously a much higher risk of failing with the deterioration rate of dead cells. So I think that we'd apparently that was the later news that we then found out this operation was.
I hadn't heard that.
No, that was. I'd chatted with Chris about this the other day, and obviously he's into his stats and stuff. And this was something that he told me. And he was saying that apparently that was why sort of a big reason as to why we got a massive put off. And I think why would you? I mean, we're looking at like the likes of Pulisic in the past. Another name that's always mentioned. That's young, bright. We're willing to spend £75 million on maybe. I think as Ross said, this has been done to death now. I think that I'll ask fair enough on him. I think he's if you're trying to just market your player, get him in the media as much as possible, then fair enough. But I haven't even heard his name this season. I mean, I saw him a tiny bit in the World Cup, then I heard he got injured at the start of the season for.
He's been in good form.
He scored against City, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He played well against City a couple of times. But and Liverpool have still got a need, you'd think, in the squad for this type of play at some point. It's just I thought it was for it to again. He's asked about it now. It's mainly because there's a good chance he could go in January again because at some point they've got to cash in. If he's not going to sign a contract, which it doesn't look like he will, they're going to have to let him go, and it could be, again, it's drawn up interest and stuff.
That's a statement for the club, isn't it? By just going, his knee's fine.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's asked about it, and he's the only person that keeps, like I said, keep banging it on, going, oh, his knee's fine. He just said, well, no, everyone's forgotten about it. Yeah. Stop going, like, and then everyone thinks, well, is his knee fine? Because you keep bringing it up.
Again, it's a funny one, isn't it? I just thought it was definitely worth including on the show. Got a couple more transfer gossip type stories then before we get into a couple of other newsy bits. The first one came out of reports in Germany. I'll start with you, Don Bailey, then. Uh-huh. It was Liverpool are apparently eyeing up the signing of Thorgan Hazard, Eden's brother. He's at Borussia Mönchengladbach, who themselves are having a very good season. They are currently, as we record, the second in the Bundesliga behind Borussia Dortmund. He's got 11 goals and 6 assists, and he's reportedly got a release clause of £26 million. His deal expires in 2020. And again, there's been a lot of talk about Thorgan Hazard moving Everton. We'll link with him at one point. His name's been banded about there. Liverpool have got a history, again, in recent times, of paying cheaper. So Jadon Shaqiri's release clause, they went and paid that because it was almost seen as a bit of a no risk. It was like, well, worst case is we sell him for a similar amount. Thorgan Hazard, sorry, is 25. Predominantly a left winger, although he can play central. He does play right a little bit as well.
Yeah.
He's in very good form. I don't know how credible the links are, and I don't know the particular source that well, but if nothing else, you could kind of see, if the Fekir deal's off, this could be one guy who they do go for who is in his prime, relatively cheap compared to the madness of the market these days, with room to grow and room to become a better player. It wouldn't be a huge shock.
Oh, no, definitely not. And I mean, like you're saying, if he's a left winger, because I haven't seen too much of him apart from Belgium, if you're looking at the places in our team that you probably ideally need some backup, I think left wing has got to be your top two or three in that list. And for a guy that's 25, £26 million, I mean, I watched him for Belgium, I know who that last game was, but he was phenomenal. Like, he was Eden Hazard, the one that's sort of the monolith to Premier League football. He outplayed him. Like, he looked like the best brother, and it was an impressive display. And I mean, he peaked people like Mertens, Benteke, sort of Lukaku wasn't in the team that time. Sort of, if he's 25 years old and playing for Mönchengladbach and he's beating these prestigious players to an international team as good as Belgium, clearly somebody likes him. And I think this would be a Shaqiri-esque steal, like you said. If we can go under the radar and sort of jump in before he sort of big time blows up and sort of sneak him away to us to cover a position that we definitely need covering, I think that's a great deal.
Yeah, and we've seen this before, again, Ross, looking at the stats, 11 and 6, I think it's in 16 games. So it's a goal or a contribution in of every other game, or every game, sorry. Liverpool have done this deal before where they've got a guy just before he's about to go big. So Sadio Mane had shown glimpses at Southampton he was going to go on. Liverpool jumped in and got him. Obviously, the obvious one is Mo Salah. He scores every game. He was on the upward curve at Roma. You could see that the stats guys could see that coming. And to be fair, Nabil Fekir, when they were linked with him, was kind of on the same. You could tell he was just about to. The stats were saying he's about to get to, from there to there.
Yeah.
It looks, again, without watching too much Bundesliga these days, from everything that you read and what you hear from about Hazard, is that he's probably the next one who's going to potentially go from a decent player, very good player, so like he could go to the next level. We have seen Liverpool do that deal before, which possibly is why they could be sniffing around if they are.
Yeah, I think you said before, like that Fekir-shaped hole in the team, you need that little bit more creativity, I think, but it all depends on what our budget is, which I'm not sure of. If are we better placed putting that in a backup left back, for example, if there's someone out there who's going to, like, you know, pay a good chunk of money, because we all know Moreno's going. You know, Milner's probably, he's not getting to the end of it, but, you know, you're going to start to look at a replacement to him, and we seem to be shopping at a different calibre. I know Shaqiri kind of skews that, but this will all depend on what Klopp wants, I think, of if it's the right deal as a package. You know, you always say about people's attitude and the price and stuff. If we see this as a bargain opportunity, I think he'll go for it, just like Shaqiri was.
Yeah,
I was going to say, Bailey, again, as we record this on the 12th of December at 2 o'clock, Liverpool top of the league, they've just qualified for the next round of the Champions League. Do you think how things go between now and the 1st of January could impact? Obviously, injuries, form. If Liverpool are still top come January,
yep,
and things are going really well, and Jürgen might just be looking at his squad thinking, we are one short, £26 million to get you a lad in who might, between January and April and May, play 10 games or whatever, but have an impact. Obviously, we've done it before. Virgil van Dijk was signed in January. Some of our best ever signings were made in this window. I'm thinking Sturridge comes into mind. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Luis Suarez comes into mind.
Andy Carroll.
Not so much. But people always say the January window is nonsense and it never works. Well,
works for us. It,
our best player, I think, was signed in January in Virgil van Dijk. Yeah. So it can... I know Klopp is very much a long-term thinker, which we all applaud. Mm-hmm. But if he feels, right, this league title's on, or I think my squad are one away from winning the Champions League, for example, then it would make sense if he can go, right, I'm going to go now. I don't know, it's someone we've looked at. He's not going to just panic buying Alexis Sanchez, for example.
No.
But if they are scouting Hazard and they have been looking at him for a few weeks, which you imagine they would... Mm-hmm. You could see him pull on the plug or you know, get on the phone to Michael Edwards and say, listen, I think I'm one short, who can you get me? Mm. And again, this guy would kind of tick most boxes.
Oh, massively. But going back to what you were saying, Ross, it's sort of like a when and where. And like you say, if it's the case of what you're saying about come January and sort of you start assessing our squad, we've lost Gomez, we've just had Trent, we don't know the extent of his injury, obviously he's got a pain in his foot, but that's two positions that we've just lost out on right back. Klein, we've not seen this season. Milner, like I say, he's the guy that's going to have to play both fullbacks because Moreno won't get anywhere near as much game time in the Prem. And how important these games are, for me, yeah. I mean, for the price, if you can go, if it feels it's the right move. It was only last week we were talking about potentially spending £75 million on Pulisic.
Yep.
So it's sort of like saying, well, he plays a very similar position. It could be that.
He's having a better season.
Yeah. So it's like if you want to buy in that position, then this guy's sort of on paper is your perfect package. But then it's sort of. We are sort of slowly getting very light on the ground in terms of defenders, and we are priding ourselves this season off of building from the back, and you don't want to lose, you don't want to take away from that sort of philosophy that you've just built this season by buying another attacker when you've got the likes of sort of Shaqiri, Keita, Fabinho that are already being rotated in that midfield. So look, I'd love him for the price, but whether he's worth taking a chunk out of the bank for, I don't think it's the right time in January,
especially with all the deals as well, because I think last time I did this show it was Aaron Ramsey was getting touted about.
Yeah.
I know that might not be till the summer, but then you could easily say, well, Arsenal, you know he's not signing a contract, there's £10 million. We'll have him, you're saving yourself £16 million there, you still got yourself a quality Premier League footballer that will contribute to you.
There's, again, we're going to come on to more names and stuff in a minute, but I just think, when I think of a Liverpool deal, at times in my head recently, they've either gone massive for the best players in the world. Mm-hmm. So they went and got the best centre-half I've seen for a long time. They went and got a goalie who's as good as anything that's knocking about.
Or the best left-back in the league for £8 million.
Or they've gone for a guy who is probably about to hit that level. So Naby Keita, Fabinho, who are getting there, and there's room for them to grow into it. They're the two types of the Liverpool seem to be doing. Now they don't tend to be going for the bargain basement buyers anymore, and they don't tend to be going... I don't know. I keep bringing back Alexis Sanchez, who's like... £500,000 a year,
or whatever,
you know, where it's a bit of a panic. I don't think United ever planned to get him. I think he was presented to them and they had a chance. Mm-hmm. Fair play.
I don't think they wanted Pogba.
There's tons of deals where it looks like things have fell into place, and that's not what we're doing. This one, again, I don't know how credible it is, and it's a couple of sources in Germany who I don't know. It just seems like it would take the age, the position of need, the fact that his stats show that he's probably about to hit the next level. It all makes sense, but. Again, people watching at home or listening at home, let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Would you have Hazard, Thorgan? I think we'd all have either for £26 million, but how about getting his kid brother and see if he can be as good as his brother? He scores more goals than his brother, perhaps, anyway.
Exactly.
Who knows? This one's an interesting one. Probably not one that gets the heart racing as much in terms of transfers, but it was reported first. Again, I think this one came from abroad at first, and then in Germany, funny enough, and then it came from English sources who potentially picked it up along the way. But it said, Ross, that Liverpool eyed up a potential £15 million move for Brighton's Pascal Gross. Again, he only arrived last summer at Brighton. I think they paid £3 million for him. He scored 7 and set up 8 last year. I don't know if you read Jürgen Klopp's comments about him. I think it was before we played him, and he was very, very...
Likes his German players, doesn't
he? He was very complimentary of him, said I've known him for a while. He's a good player, tons and tons of stuff.
Yeah, he's going to Blackpool, isn't he?
Yeah, but maybe it was. Maybe it was a bit of Jürgen tapping up this. I don't know. But again, there's no one watching this at home or listening to this now who's thinking, oh, Pascal Gross, that's one who, that gets your, that gets a bit of lead in your pencil. But what it could do, you mentioned before about Andy Robertson, and you mentioned Gini Wijnaldum, and you mentioned Shaqiri, and even, you know, Sadio Mane, for example, like players who are playing the lower end of the Premier League. Some of those teams were even relegated. And Jürgen spotted something in them, and he's been happy to go, I think you can come and play for Liverpool. Again, from having seen Pascal Gross, I don't know if he could make that level. I don't know if he's that good. But
I wouldn't have an issue if that was to happen for all the examples you've just given. I don't think it matters about the price tag and whether playing. I think that's a mindset that we have as fans. If we want, like, we want the Alisson, we want the Virgil van Dijk, we want the £70-80 million being spent, because that justifies to us that they're a quality player.
Yeah.
Whereas Andrew Robertson was basically fucking free anyway, because we swapped him for Kevin Stewart. Joe Gomez was £3 million. Look at the player that Klopp's turned him into. Oh, and van Dijk equally and stuff. So this wouldn't surprise me, wouldn't disappoint me. Obviously, I'd love a Pulisic or something instead, but that's me as a fan. And obviously, there's a reason why Jürgen Klopp's the manager. They've proved over the past year and a half to me that they know what they're doing in the transfer market.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Bailey, I've been doing this show now for a couple of years, spanning before Jürgen Klopp even got here and Brendan Rodgers. And certain times when names would come up, you would be horrified at those names. Like, why are Liverpool interested in him? So, I remember there was a while ago, Swansea, Ashley Williams. Yeah, apparently there was talk that Rodgers wanted him, and people were going absolutely bananas.
After the World Cup, wasn't it?
There's been loads of those type of names where you've looked at them, and we've even signed some of them. You know, I don't think the whole world was completely enthused when we signed Ben Teke, for example. But the fact that Ross has just said what he said, and I think a lot of people will be like, well, fine. If Jürgen wants him, I trust him, or if Michael Edwards wants him, I trust them. That does show that there's been a significant jump in, again, from the time I've been doing this show, where I remember sitting on this show with Aubrey, and we were just going through a list of players going, why are we after him? Why are we after him? Why are we after him? And they were all pretty average players. Mm. Pascal Gross is potentially a pretty average-ish player. The fact that Ross has just gone, oh yeah, well, fine, it does show the level of trust that we've now got in the whole transfer setup, regardless of what we think. It's almost like we've gone, well, they obviously know more than me, because I thought Andy Robertson was garbage, and now he's the best left back in Europe, or whatever, one of the best left backs in the league. Exactly. It does show the faith we can put on these guys that to kind of just get on with it.
Yeah, exactly. And like it was the Rodgers era where you'd literally be like, we'd sign players that were just average, and you'd be like, all fans were like, we want a big money signing, because that big money back then was the staple for a good player. It's not the case anymore. Like you've just said, if any name comes onto the sheet and it's a genuine link, so like there's confirmed interest, I'm excited, because whether I like the player or not, whether I know anything about the player, Klopp clearly knows the guy, and nowadays Klopp's probably shopping around the market in every league and going, your characteristics fit the style of football I'm trying to plan out for this team. Whether you're playing well in the current situation, Gross could just be playing, like, look at Shaqiri, the guy had all the pressure put on his shoulders at Stoke. He was sort of made to drag teams around, and he got called lazy. You can't blame him for the style of football they were playing, but now he's in a team where sometimes the formation's built around his sort of the link-up play and the respect that Klopp has for him. Sometimes it just takes players that get such a low price tag and such a bad name for themselves, just putting them in the right team with the right players and the right manager, then they show their worth.
Yeah, and I suppose, Ross, you mentioned before that there could be a need for an attacking midfielder, and that's kind of what he does. Give or take, you know, he can play a bit deeper time.
Said Cam apparently when I Googled.
Yeah, he plays, Brighton aren't the most adventurous team in the world, but when they're at home, they do try and get on, like I say. Seven goals, 8 assists, I should say.
For a team that are struggling.
For a team that, it took them, till 2 games to go to stay up, I think. They had to beat United near the end of the season to stay in the league. It's another one where, again, it's crazy that we're not just laughing this off as absolute bullshit, because there's there's a method in the madness of it, even if it's a bad link, and it could be complete, utter nonsense. It really could be. But the fact that we're not just laughing it off completely shows the trust that we've got, and also the fact that Jürgen Klopp doesn't identify players what he can't do. It's more like, well, I think he can come to my team and do that, and do that for me, and I will make him into this. And for 15 million quid, if that plays, 10 games?
It's still low risk, isn't it? But that's comparison to, like, we say Fekir was £53 million and he might have had a dodgy knee, whereas this lad is £15 million. And back to the transfers, I think I can't think of a bad transfer that Klopp's really made, to be honest with you. Klavan's probably the cheapest one, but then he was a fourth choice centre half.
And he was all right.
Yeah,
maybe Karius. Karius didn't work, obviously.
No, but then he was given a chance to go and do something, and then he's got this mindset, well, you're not good enough. Well, we've just got to improve it. We're willing to go and improve that.
I was checking. The only thing with Grosham, I was just confirming it. He is 27, so he has been about, you know, he's been knocking around. He was knocking around Germany for, 2008 or 2013, which is probably where Klopp first come across. And so that's the only one where you think, well, maybe, again, if Liverpool were going to sign a 27-year-old, Ross, you'd probably think it would be someone who's just walked into the team. You'd think they'd rather go a little bit younger if they were looking for a squad player. I don't know. That's what might
I think...
Or do you think that's not?
I think that's the previous model that they've used, but I think this is different because of the depth that we've added to and the quality that we keep adding to, with the scenario that, like you said before, if, you know, we were fighting for a title and you're fighting for potentially a Champions League as well or an FA Cup, you want bodies in there, don't you? And even like you said, if he plays 4 or 5 games, well, it gives a chance for, I don't know, a Milner to have a rest, or anyone, you can name anyone in that midfield to have a rest and be fresh for an important game, then go and do it, rather than just put a youngster in there who's going to be out the depth.
Yeah, again, it makes sense. And like I say, people listening, again, watching at home on the YouTube or on the subscribers, let us know, Pascal Grossi, what you think. I'm kind of like, listen, again, don't really, I've seen bits
I've
of him.
I've got to the point where the name comes up, and like you said before, I was like, what the fuck do I know?
If they like him, we're on board, which is a huge, again, I remember hosting the show, and we would put it out on YouTube sometimes, and just the vitriol in the comments section of he's crap, why aren't we signing X, why aren't we signing Z? And you might still get that because YouTube's insane. And it might happen underneath the video now.
And for 50 million quid, the form that Michael Edwards has been on, we'll probably put pain to take it off him.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Look, if it was 5 million quid,
there'll be some type of Michael Edwards wonderful deal involved. Let's park transfers in terms of incomings aside for now, then, and let's talk a little bit of contract news. It seems every week we do this show, Bailey, you've been on a while, and I was like, there's been someone close to signing a new contract or has, and
it was Mane, weren't it?
Mane's been involved, Robertson, there's been talk of him, and he's probably going to be the next one. And now it happens that Joey Gomez is, within the last week, we spoke about him a lot on the show, he's signed till 2024 again, he's added, if my maths is correct, 6 years onto his current deal.
Yep.
Ross, confirm that?
No, it's 2018 now.
That's six, Ross.
You said six onto his current deal.
Okay, he's added six years on.
Okay, that's correct.
Whatever that is. I don't know what his current contract was.
That's not what you said.
All right, 6 years from now.
Correct.
There you go. Yeah. I knew what I was saying.
Okay.
It was like an IKEA sentence. I give you the bits.
Okay.
And then you had to build the sentence yourself. that's what I was doing there. Okay. It was a quiz and you failed. Let's crack on. We spoke about the impact of Joe Gomez and how good he's been last week. Unfortunately, when the injury was confirmed and how he was going to be out, it turns out it's a 6-week injury, maybe at times like that. But again, he was under contract. There was no reason to think that any, you know, he had like 4 years left. I think it was really long left. He was on decent money. He wasn't on brilliant money. Mm-hmm. This is Liverpool's new policy now of they're not trying to, I don't know, have a bargain on their book. So I remember you could have someone for 10 grand on a 4-year contract and they could play great for a year and you'd be like, no chance, I've got a bargain here. Mm. Liverpool seem quite happy to say, if you play well, we'll reward you. Even, you know, Mo Salah got a new contract 1 year after signing for the club. Mm-hmm. Because he wanted to get his wages up there again. It looks like with Joe Gomez, he's earned a new deal. And even though we didn't need to tie him up, we've decided, you know what, we're going to reward you, which just shows the harmony around the group. And I think it's a really clever thing because it will keep everybody happy. You know, he's now getting paid for a job that he thinks, he's getting paid what he thinks he's now entitled to. Yeah. So there's no risk of him ever becoming unhappy. There's no risk of him knocking on the manager's door going, in a year's time, Dejan Lovren's on 100 grand a week and I'm on 20 grand or whatever I'm on. This is nonsense, I'm playing every week. Liverpool have got ahead of that by doing this type of deal, which again, I don't know if you agree, I think it's really smart.
Oh, it absolutely is. And like we spoke about on the Around the League this week about Sterling, and if you look back to when Sterling left Liverpool, I think it was over about a 30 grand contract dispute about we were going to pay him like 120 or whatever, he was wanted 150 and he went. We lost one of the now best players in the Premier League from it. And now it's like you said, you don't even have to reward him, but I think this is the Klopp era, Klopp way of doing it. And like I said, we've already got the front three, the goalkeeper, the centre-back, locked down. We're doing the Tottenham style of things where it's sort of like, if you can lock down all these best players, you don't then have to go and shop around for replacements. Yeah. And he definitely will be the centre-back partnership to Van Dijk on current form. Like, there's no way I couldn't think of any other player that I'd want there apart from him. And like you look back to what Klopp said yesterday after the Alisson save, he was like, if I knew he was that good, I'd have paid him double. Klopp's not afraid to give people what they're worth. Yeah. And Gomez is definitely worth an extra contract.
It's protection, isn't it? The fact that he's given him that, so he's protecting from other players, he's protecting his transfer value, so if someone wants to come in for him, he won't be distracted because they're going to have to buy his contract out and put his value's gone up. But it's incentive as well to, like you just said, with all the names that have already got it, well, if you work hard, we'll reward you.
Every other player on the squad now thinks, well, if I have
that's
that
why
one...
That's why you say in the conversation, Robertson's next, because he's been working his bollocks off, so you assume he's going to get rewarded, and then the next player will go, well, he's got one. What do I have to do to get that? And work hard.
Even Trent got one recently as well, didn't he? So you can see what they're trying to do. At some point, Jurgen Klopp doesn't want to be buying players every window. He wants to get to a stage like what Man City are at, where you maybe need to go and get one. So they went and got they had the best league team in the world or whatever.
Got 100 points and he's got Mahrez for a lot.
Yeah, and they bought Player of the Year from 2015.
Exactly, because they thought he had a bit of a potential weakness there. He's had a good start to the season. He's a really good player. That's where Liverpool want to get to, Rush. But that's how you get there. You get there by making sure your players are happy. What you don't want, and again, I've used this analogy before, but I know this show is going on YouTube, so there'll be different people watching it, is that Graeme Souness mentions that when he signed, I think it was Dean Saunders, I think he signed, and he gave him X amount of money, and then Ian Rush come knocking on his door saying, hang on a minute, you've just signed him, and I'm the best player we've got, and I score goals every week, I want to be paid what he's got. And for whatever reason, the money wasn't there or whatever, and Souness couldn't have him. Mm. And listen, Ian Rush went on to be carry on being brilliant because he's Ian Rush, but he was clearly upset. What you don't want is, you know, Joe Gomez thinking, if I'm first choice, I don't know what Matip's on, but I know Lovren's on close to £100,000 a week. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Gomez is being paid now even, but you never want resentment within your squad. You want everyone to be getting paid what they think they're worth. I think most players will accept that the likes of Mo Salah and Sadio Mane and Virgil van Dijk will be getting the absolute top dollar because they're your best players. But you want everyone else thinking, well, Joe Gomez could be thinking, I could be playing for Chelsea and I could be on X, Y, or Z. Now Liverpool are saying, actually, you know, we're not gonna rip you off, or almost by saying you agreed to that 4 years ago when we signed you from Charlton, so therefore you're going to keep it. We're actually going to reward you now. Yeah. It's a great way. I think it's an amazing way to keep morale high. You know, everyone's happy at work, the team are winning, everyone, why would you do anything that can upset the apple cart? And this is one reason why you're going to do it.
It's a domino effect as well, because once you see Salah sign a new contract, I think Bobby was first actually, wasn't he? So Bobby signs it, well, everyone else is looking around going, well, he signed a new contract, and, you know, that's encouraging for me to 3 years, 4 years' time, mm-hmm. we're all going to be together with this unity. So he's creating a healthy competition. But back to, if you say Gomez thought I can be at Chelsea earning this much money, Liverpool will be aware of some of what he's thinking. Yeah. And if his mentality is not spot on, well, you're not going to get a new contract. Then if you don't want to play for Liverpool, don't. And if you do, work hard and we will reward you. And that's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, I agree.
I was going to say, it's like the big thing that I think Liverpool have been lacking for the last 10 years is identity. And I think that the big sort of ethos behind the club now is making Liverpool a destination. And I mean, when you look at Coutinho, obviously the most recent example is players that look as Liverpool as a stepping stone to somewhere big. By offering players what they're worth and saying to them, we believe in you, we need you at this club, it makes us the destination again, and it makes us into that big club status that we've been, when we're playing Barcelona, Real Madrid, and we're like, oh, it's a big club. We're there now. We're there with the players that are performing wondrously for us every single week because they love playing for the club, and we love having them at the club. So by saying, if say Gomez, Robertson has got to follow, you'd assume, and just having... It doesn't have to be your strikers anymore. It doesn't have to be the guys to get you the goals. It's recognising, like you say, Ross, whenever you work hard for us, we're going to give you that reward. Yep. And it stands massively to sort of the brand that Liverpool are now creating in Klopp's era.
Yeah, I agree. And two things, Ross, if I come to you, point one I'm thinking in my head is that if you're looking at signing somebody and you're looking at, say, Forgan Hazard, we've just spoke about, and you say, here's your £100,000 a week contract, but bear in mind, look what we've just done. So we've given a guy who had 4 years left a new contract and added 2 years on. We've given Mo Salah, who had one out, I mean, and it was the year of all years, but it was just one season.
Yeah.
And we've rewarded him. We've rewarded Firmino 2 years before his contract was due. Mane's had another 2.5 years, and we've rewarded him. Trent Alexander-Arnold signed one, and then signed another one about 8 months later because he outplayed it. Mm-hmm. That if I'm an agent or if I'm a player looking at Liverpool, I would be thinking, well, listen, the world. Money talks, and we all know that. Everyone knows that. But if I go there and they're paying me, they're offering me a £20,000 pay rise now, I'll take it because I know in a year's time, if I'm as good as I think I am, there's going to be another £50,000 a week coming straight away, where someone else might offer me X amount, a little bit more.
United.
But they're not as good as us. They're not as good as Liverpool are now. I'm willing to take the chance and go to a better team on the basis that I know that they're going to go then and pay me again if I perform.
We're becoming like a package deal, really, aren't we? It's the attractive football, the manager everyone wants to play for, the quality of players that we've got, the fact that we're retaining the players, and then the incentive with the contract as well. Why would you not want to play for this club? Obviously, people have their individual reason, they might not like them. But we're giving ourselves more and more reason to become an attractive prospect to elite players as well.
And the final part of winning stuff, which, again, fingers crossed to get that, Bailey. And that's just my second point before we move on from this one, is going to be is that Liverpool have changed so much for so long. It's been constant change.
Yep.
Benitez was constantly changing everything because of financial constraints. Hodgson was just a disaster. Dalglish comes and he's changing, and we get rid of him and we bring in another manager, Rodgers, and then he's at war with the committee and everything's changing every year. We lose our best players.
The best players are going for the opposite reasons what we're doing now.
And that's what I'm saying.
But you're signing shite and we're not winning anything. Why the fuck should they stay?
Exactly, and that's what we're going to say is that even Jürgen's had to, you know, I saw the picture the other day of, you know, the first team we had compared to now. It's chalk and cheese, and it's been 3 and a bit years. At some point, it has to stop changing. Things have to stay the same. Yeah. And by having your goalie, your two centre backs, your three best forwards, potentially your left back, your future, you know, your right back who should be there for 5-10 years, you've got those. They're all tied up. Obviously, Fabinho and Keita are there for another 4 or 5 years, whatever their contracts are. Mm-hmm. At some point, that's a bit stability. And it's that stability that wins stuff. Obviously, Chelsea are always the exception to the rule because they every so often they change and for some reason it works and they win.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't last forever and they have to go through a dip to come again. Mm-hmm. The best teams are stable with a secure core squad and you add around them. And that's what I'm hoping that these type of deals mean is that we get to a January or summer window and you're looking for one or two, not five or six. Mm-hmm. And by tying down your best players, that's the step that we're taking towards that.
Yeah, and there's a reason that us and City are so far above other teams in the league this season, because we both understand that that's how you win things. Obviously, we haven't done it yet, but like you said, it's been a building process.
You spend big and then you build around it.
Yeah, and you spend big, you tie everybody down, and then, like you say, you bring in a Mahrez quality player, whether it's a Van Dijk in the summer or something like that, and it's having that whole, trying to understand that the big club mentality doesn't mean you have to spend money, you have to be smart, you have to spend money where appropriate, but then you can buy an £8 million left back, you can buy a £30 million back at right winger because you know that they fit your system. So once you've now got, say, I think we are on the horizon of having this whole starting 11 tied down for 6 years, and that's something we've not had in forever. I don't remember in my lifetime certainly having that sort of stability. And I think this is where we're sort of now going to see the City and Liverpool era of sort of, I don't want to say dominance because I don't want to jinx anything, and I think other teams are getting there, but you've got like the likes of Arsenal who are still rebuilding. United are up Schitt's Creek with no paddle, and like they do things the opposite to us. They'll offer Sanchez 500 grand a week, and then it doesn't keep him hungry, and he just sort of stagnates and
he
goes off nowhere.
He gets hungry.
Yeah, and exactly. But then you've got, this is sort of the template now of how you are supposed to do things. Yes, you've got to spend a bit of money, that's a given, that's modern football, but then it's Tottenham do it brilliantly. They don't have the money, and that's where they miss out. They don't spend the money, but they do the contracting really well. So they lock down their first team. They're not going anywhere until they win. Unless they,
because you can kind of see, Ross, there in what Bailey's saying, is that United do want, they spend big, but it kind of sometimes what goes wrong. Arsenal have done the same, but they've never got the contracts bit right.
Yeah.
They've lost. Tottenham have got that bit spot on. They haven't got the money, but they've got their players tied down. Uh-huh. Liverpool kind of want to be in that middle bit. They want to do what Spurs are doing by keeping the core. Do you want to do what Arsenal have done by buying them? But the important thing is, once you bought them, to keep them. And not Luke Sanchez left because his contract was run down. Chamberlain left contract. They're about to lose Aaron Ramsey. They had to pay Mesut Ozil £350,000 a week to stop him from leaving for nothing. What Liverpool have done, they've kind of bridged that gap of what those two were doing, and they're stuck in the middle. And that's probably why at the moment they're elevated above those two particular clubs, who are very good clubs, who are having very good seasons. But that's why Liverpool are probably not on that level. They're on that level.
That's why it's such a bizarre thing, because it's never been like this in my lifetime as a football fan. It's just been like, we'll buy shite and try and save money and cutbacks, like you said, Benitez and Hodgson and stuff. We won't go into Hodgson, obviously, but that's going back to the prospect thing of going, people want to be here now. It's not a case of like, it's the stepping stone that you've already mentioned. It's kind of like, actually, you know, that is the destination where I want to go play my football and believe I win something. But that's part of what Klopp has built. And sometimes you want instant gratification where you think it's going to happen overnight. We've had to wait 3 years for this still. Yeah.
We've been the most patient team.
Yeah, but we're still growing. But things need to stop changing. That's where it just slows down completely and go like, we'll be in a position next season, I believe, of going, we'll just get one player because we've got a base now of a spine, which we've not had since 08-09.
Yeah, I agree. Very quickly then, we've got a couple of minutes left before we start wrapping up.
Yep.
Wolves apparently want to take Dom Solanke on loan very quickly, Ross. Would you let him go? Do you think he needs to go and play? He's obviously fallen behind. Well, Firmino and Salah are one of those two are always going to be our first choice striker. Dan Sturridge is there. Dave Origi's been getting on the bench ahead of Solanke. I know he's had injuries and stuff as well, but there's talk that Wolves want him, Huddersfield want him, and Glasgow Rangers are all are interested in knocking about. Very quickly, do you think, would you let him go, and do you think Liverpool should let him go? Loan, not to be sold.
It's two minds for himself, because he needs to go and get some game time, and Premier League game time will do him the world of good. But at the same time, what we just mentioned of having that depth and an extra body, he's not the best striker at the club, but if he can rest Bobby Firmino for half an hour by bringing him on in a game, I think we need to be selfish and kind of use him almost and go, right, we play half an hour here because Bobby needs a rest.
I suppose what you could the flip side for that would be Bailey is that Sturridge and Origi are there as well, Salah's there as well.
Maybe pick up an injury or two.
Rhian Brewster's coming back. I know what you're saying. From a selfish point of view, you'd have a squad of 50.
Yeah.
But again, harmony wise and doing what's best for players, Liverpool have shown a willingness to do what's best for the player at times. I don't know. It's a tough one. I think personally, he could do with the games.
Again,
you're like, well, maybe if there's a clause where you can bring him back, I don't know what the legalities of that.
Yeah.
Perhaps, I know Chelsea did it with Nathan Ake, they had a clause where they could call him back at any time.
Mm-hmm. And they never played him.
But they needed depth, so they brought him in.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could include something like that, but it looks like the guy, he's too good. We've seen him, he scores a million goals for England under-21s. He plays under-23s football, that's not his level, he's too good for that.
Mm-hmm.
He's not where Liverpool need him to be yet. It's kind of the only other option, rather than just keeping him around the training ground, is to let him go and play.
Yeah.
And if it's you know, two Premier League teams or a Rangers team managed by a Liverpool legend, you can kind of see the logic in it.
For me, Wolves, I didn't know this was news, but I would let him go now.
Did he need the striker, Wolves?
I was saying to you on the Around the League, outside the top six, including Man United, the Wolves are the best football playing side I've seen in the Premier League for ages, apart from Leicester sort of 15-16. That move would be brilliant for him, I think. I think their Wolves have got a fantastic style of play. They play similar to us. They counter-attack, they tore City apart when they drew. I think they've got really creative midfielders that do like a good cross into the box, which is sort of suits his style of play. He's very good with his feet. If Huddersfield, not really. I think their style of football is not great. And Rangers, yeah, I can see what you're saying there. But if he could go to Wolves, that'd be a massive move for him, in my opinion. I mean, that's outside the top six. That is elite Premier League quality football that they're playing. And if, like I say, they need a striker, he'd get the games. You never know. You're leaving there for 6 months, and like you say, if he's got a clause where you can bring him back, like Harry Wilson has, how are we losing out?
I think their style of play as well would suit him.
Yeah,
they play attacking football, and their manager's similar to Klopp, and he's a bit of a fucking taker.
And also, they might be willing to give him a game, because what's happened with Ben Woodburn is that he's gone to Sheffield United, and the style of play just hasn't suited them. Mm-hmm. And because the pressure's on them to really get that promotion,
he's not playing.
Where you'd imagine, again, things can change, and this might come back and haunt me, but you'd think Wolves aren't going to get relegated.
You wouldn't think that they've
kind of surpassed that level now. Uh-huh. They're not really going to push for anything more than maybe possibly a Europa spot at best. Uh-huh. And they'd need a few things to break for them. They'd have to usurp Everton and United, probably, which I don't know if they're there yet. Uh-huh. But maybe they definitely possibly could be. That's the type of team where you could get games, Ross, in that there's not going to be a manager thinking, I can't afford to throw a kid in and get playing on a risk because there's too much pressure. It's a loan that you could see him getting valuable minutes that he definitely needs somewhere.
Yeah, particularly for a team like Wolves, although they're in a healthy position now, someone who can come in and maybe get them 10 goals is crucial for them, because I'm sure their target now, it must be just safety because it's the first season in the Premier League. But if you can better that, then why wouldn't you? And then it's a deal that would suit both teams, and the fact that Solanke can grow. I know I said before about being selfish, but he needs to grow, otherwise he's not going to improve, is he? So he gets the game time there, then I think he will do.
I think it'd be good as well. If we could do what we did with Danny Ings, so we loaned him out in January. If we could do a Danny Ings style thing where it's like, yeah, we'll loan you, but you can't play against us.
Yeah, he's not going to be allowed to play against.
Yeah, so that would be a mate, because we drew
in the cup.
I say, watching them play, I'm scared for that game, because they do play really good football, and I don't want to underestimate them. And if we give him a player that sort of, like you say, Ross, goes in and starts getting in the goals for him, it becomes quite crucial to their build up. By the time we play them, it sort of takes something away from their quality.
And vice versa, he could score the goals against your rivals to help you.
His goal record is ridiculous. Remember when we first bought him, doing research on him, he scored like 41 goals in the season.
At levels, he's never quite got there yet. Let's wrap up there then, guys. Thanks very much. I'm going to spin around this way. Watch this. This is my part of the show, I love. Did you get that, Lauren? That's fine. As long as it was on there, that's fine. I wanted people to see me slightly move to the right. I've done a little bit. Just that's new. That's for YouTube.
That's for
the YouTube. So again, thanks very much for the subscribers who are already watching. Very much appreciated that you do subscribe to the channel. If you're watching this on YouTube and you like this kind of thing, on the three of you, do go to the website and do sign up. We do this every single week, and we always have lots and lots of fun, and I get to move my chair around 45 degrees, and that's worth paying a £5 to see as well. Thanks very much.
Yeah,
you can watch that on repeat. Yeah. Make that into a GIF. Thanks very much for the people. Thanks for watching at home. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week with the Reds News Roundup. Ta-ra.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.